Well, welcome back to our study of Revelation. We're going to begin this evening with chapter 14. Actually, we're going to talk about a few things before we get into chapter 14.
Before we go into chapter 14, there's some things that I want to say following up on our last session where we were talking about the 666 and identifying this thing through an ecclesiastical system rather than a person. And then we talked about how the all the empires in Nebuchadnezzar's dream have been destroyed. And we saw where there's a deadly wound, a head with a deadly wound that's healed and comes back. And how the Roman Empire, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he saw the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and it hit the feet of the statue and crushed. And so Jesus came to earth during the reign of the Roman Empire. The kingdom of God began then. John the Baptist talked about the kingdom's near you. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. On the day of Pentecost, I believe the kingdom of God became established in earth through the church. And it's been growing ever since. And if you remember, it says it fills the earth. Okay? And we talked about how the Roman Catholic Church has the ecclesiastical now. Ecclesiastical is just talking about the religious side, okay? How that the power of that organization, to where it's like it's a government of itself that's ruling all these others, like the deadly wound that's revived. But in collaboration with that, working together, is the World Council of Churches. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has never joined the World Council of Churches and won't, because it won't be a branch. It's got to be the thing. You understand? But yet, it's got a representative at all the meetings of the World Council of Churches, and they collaborate together. This World Council of Churches, your mainline denominational churches here in America, it started out of Amsterdam, the World Council of Churches, but they promote the Antichrist things, like abortion, lesbianism, homosexuality, all these type things. They promote all that, and yet they say they're representing Christians. No, you're not. You may be representing names, but you're not representing people who are followers of Christ. So they work together. And I'm telling you, the ecclesiastical system is one of the most dangerous systems ever introduced to mankind, the religious system, because it takes the place of God. Your denomination, I don't care what denomination it is, has taken the place of God in that it tells you what you should do rather than letting the Bible tell you. They will give you their rules, their regulations, their tenets of faith, their doctrinal beliefs, and all this type things. I'm telling you, this is a dangerous anti-Christ system. That's why you had better get the Word of God in you and follow the Word of God, not a private interpretation, but you follow the Word of God, and you must be filled with the Spirit of God to where the Spirit of God can reveal the Word of God to you. If you read the Bible without the Holy Spirit interpreting it, you're reading a dead letter. But when the Spirit of God illuminates that word, it becomes a living word that can be put into practice. You follow me? And so I just warn you on this stuff, and don't think that the World Council of Churches is a good organization. It's an evil organization. Okay? Now, with that said, I want you to think about this. There are the two powerful entities that rule the world, always has, and as long as it's in existence and as we know it today, these two entities will rule. Civil government and ecclesiastical government. They rule the people. The civil is ruling the secular. The church is ruling the people. And if you'll notice, you know, in our Constitution, it's so misinterpreted these days, but now they call for separation of church and state. And when the Constitution was formulated, so that the state, the government, could not interfere with the church. It didn't say a thing about the church not having influence over the government. The church should have the influence over the government. And when you look at the way God originated Israel, I mean the very birth of Israel, it was God who ruled the nation through the Constitution that He gave that's commonly called the Law of Moses. And so it's God ruling the state, not the state ruling the church. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to understand that the ecclesiastical system is a ruling, controlling system. And it will be the ecclesiastical that will encourage you to wear the mask, to take the vaccine, or take the mark. Do you understand? It is a dangerous system. That's why it's referred to in symbolism as a beast, a dangerous animal. Both of those, civil as well as political, I mean as well as ecclesiastical, are dangerous animals that are out to get your life. And you'd better beware, aware of these things. Now, Heather put things up on the board, a marker board, last session concerning the 666. But she was looking at something, and I find that to me it's intriguing, to say the least. I'm going to have her to read John chapter 6, verse 66. Okay.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Apostasy. Apostasy. Remember that that word, the apostate, that word is a 666.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's, what are you doing? You're getting people to turn away from God. Anything that takes you away from God, and specifically away from the Lord Jesus Christ, is Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how it's dressed up, it's Antichrist. And we have it under our nose today, in our face today. And we better wake up, or people will be dead. I dare say that if they came out today and said you're required to take this mark, however they administer it, that the majority of the church people would take the mark. Because if you don't, it's going to affect the flesh. The flesh is not going to get what it wants. It's used to having what it wants. We better get our minds on the Spirit and off of the flesh, or we'll find ourselves selling our souls to the devil. We better wake up in all this.
And we need to be mindful not just to pull a scripture out of context. So often, and we may have talked about this before, but the religious system will present something that's anti-Christ and say something like, well, God is love. You should love. You should love all people. Sure. You see what I mean? We have to know all the scriptures in the sense of we know the principles that are being taught. And what's acceptable to the Lord is acceptable to those that truly follow Christ. What's not acceptable should not be acceptable to us either.
You know, I was thinking about how people have been deceived down through the age. We talked about from the gold, silver standard to the paper standard to the checks, then to the credit cards, now to the debit cards. Anesthetizing you. Just putting you to sleep that this is okay. And now these things have the number 666. That's what's generating them. And so all that's in place now. And that's why there's such a warning with all that. They're telling you that their selling point, well, if you get this credit card, this debit card, especially the debit card, you don't have to carry cash, so there's less chance of robbery. I'm going to tell you there's more theft, robbery, and fraud through electronics than there was in the whole time they were carrying gold. And so don't you buy the lie. You with me? The ones that invent it can steal from you. The ones that work for them know how the systems work, and that's why there's so much fraud today where they can steal your driver's license, your social security number, and they can steal your identity. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you, well, the chip will prevent that. No, it will not. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
But even if it would, you better not fall for it. Then you're doomed. There's no hope for you then. Okay. Now, one more thing before we get into 14. Denomination. Let me. I looked this up today, but it's actually an autonomous branch of a Christian church, a denomination. Now, here's the key word: autonomous. You know what that means? It's self-governing. It's self-governing. And if you look at the very root of the word denomination, it's a dividing. Now, the World Council of Churches is made up of a lot of denominations. They say they're bringing unity back. And so they want to unify. You know what that is? Global church, one world church, one world government is what they're looking for. You follow me? But it's a very liberal one world. You with me? And so I don't care what the denomination is, it's autonomous. It makes its rules. It will tell you what's right and what's wrong. But no man is to have that position in your life. You're not to take that position. If you're led by the Spirit, God's telling you what's right and wrong, not you, and not man. And so where we need to put all our emphasis is on being led by the Spirit. Not by some preacher, not by some organization, not some denomination. And I'm telling you, the superstars today are running wild and getting all types of money and huge followings. And I can tell you right now that as they go down, the people go down with them. But God's not going down. That's why it's so important to get locked into the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, I feel like I needed to say these things to you because it was it's either early yesterday morning or late. What day is it?
Thursday.
Anyway, this came to me after the session that we had on Tuesday, and I just felt like the Lord dealt with me that I hadn't finished. I needed to give the warning. To give the warning. Not just looking at one denomination, which is not even a Christian denomination, really. They just use the word Christian, okay? But why would you separate Catholic from Christian if they're the same? Truth is, it's not, okay? But I felt like we needed to get the warning out. Don't let religious organizations deceive you and influence you to turn away from God. Even if the prophet stands up and gives you a sign and it comes to pass, but it's to take you away from the truth, from the Word of God. In the Old Testament, this is what God said. Don't follow him and kill the prophet. Don't be afraid of him. Well, I'm not telling you to kill the people. I'm telling you don't follow the people. You with me? And I'm telling you, since this thing broke out with Israel, they've come out of the woodwork and everybody's got a prophetic word. Don't pay any attention to it.
But you can kill a message by not giving it any credence. By just letting it fall to the wayside.
You keep your eyes on the Lord and all for the TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, all you're getting on the TV is lying news anyway. And they're going to take sides with the terrorist. You understand? They'll sympathize with the terrorist. Never take sides with the Lord. Never take sides with God. And I'm going to tell you, Israel is God's covenant people. God made a covenant with Abraham. And God is watching over that covenant today just as much as he watched over it 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, or 4,000, or not 4,000, but say 3,000 years ago. God watches over his covenant. Mm-hmm. They're God's chosen people, and it's a dangerous thing to fight against God's people. Mm-hmm. If they're wrong, let God deal with them. That's not your prerogative. You with me? But I'm telling you, we should be staunch supporters of the nation of Israel. Because if you are against Israel, you're against God. And that's a dangerous place to be. All right, now. We can go on if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay.
14. Verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
Now you can read that and you say, oh, Mount Zion, well, Mount Zion's in Israel. No, that's not what he's saying. You're going to find as we go through this that you'd better be looking at your context, not your word definitions. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask Heather, if she would, to read Hebrews 12 and verse 22.
But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
This is not natural Zion. This is spiritual Zion. This is heaven, not earth. Okay? Now, you just stay with the context, and the context is going to tell you that. Now, he says, standing with this lamb is 144,000. If you go all, if you go back to the seventh chapter of the Revelation, mm-hmm. then you get who the 144,000 are. There are 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, mm-hmm. excluding Dan. Mm-hmm. When I say 12 tribes, Joseph had double portion to Ephraim and Manasseh. That's what made the 12. Dan is left out of that. Don't ask me why, because I don't know why. And anything, anybody that tells you they do is speculating. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the 144,000 that are standing with the Lamb. And it says they have his Father's name in their forehead. That identifies the Lamb as the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these 144,000 have God's name marked in their forehead. If you go back to the seventh chapter, remember the four angels is holding the wind, and he sends out an angel with an inkhorn, and he sends out others with swords, and he says, "You, the man with the inkhorn, the winds can't blow till this man identifies God's people." 12,000 from each of these 12 tribes. The mark. He put a mark on God's mark on them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What does Antichrist do?
It's a mark.
He duplicates. He counterfeits. You understand, Satan does not create anything. He counterfeits what is created. You take any religion on the face of the earth, you'll get its roots out of the Christian's God. But it'll fabricate its own beliefs to this and make their own gods, whether they're images or whether they're constellations or whatever, even people, you know, that demand you to worship them, like North Korea. The leader. Okay? Now, so we're talking about a spiritual Zion, not a physical Zion. The physical mountain of Zion, actually, is the summit of Mount Hermon. That's not what it's talking about. This is in heaven. Now, as we stay with the context, you're going to see this.
Verse 2, "And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps."
And so what he's hearing is some voice from heaven that's had the sound of water. In other words, it's an awesome voice. Okay? And he also heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3. "And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth."
Now note that only the 144,000 know this song. It's a new song. They're in the presence of the throne where the four living creatures are and the elders. They're singing the song. Note that they've been redeemed from the earth. So if they're in the presence of the throne of God, if they're in the presence of these four living creatures and the elders, then it can't be on earth. It's in heaven. That's why I say that the context will define it for you. Okay?
Okay. Verse 4, "These are they which were not defiled by women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb."
It's interesting that they're called the first fruits. If you go back to the seventh chapter of the Revelation, you'll see that these 144,000 were sealed first.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that same chapter later on, John sees a multitude without number, innumerable. And he's asked, "Who are these?" And John's,
"Yeah.
You know." I sure don't know. Yeah. He said, "These are those who came out of great tribulation." the 144,000 were the first fruits. They were sealed first. You with me? Then these others.
Verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God.
That's pretty incredible. In the mouths of this 144,000, there was no deceit. I don't know if you can group 144,000 people together anywhere in the world and there not be deceit in it. Such a deceptive world. That's pretty incredible. And so, there's no deceit. They're before the throne of God, unblemished, pure.
And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people.
Now, this is an interesting verse you need to pay attention to. John sees another angel flying in the midst of heaven, and this angel had the everlasting gospel. It didn't say the gospel of Jesus Christ, did it? He has the everlasting gospel, which is a good news, okay, good message, to preach to those who remain on earth. Now, God has ordained this through the foolishness of preaching, that men give the message to men, right? People are telling people about Jesus. And if you think about it, in the 10th chapter of Acts, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, is worshiping God and an angel appears to him. And the angel says to him, send to Joppa for a man named Simon Peter and have him to come to you and he'll tell you what you need to do. Well, if angels were just preaching the gospel back then, why send a man? No, Peter went down and told them about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You follow me? But here, this is an everlasting gospel. Now, you're going to get the message that this angel is preaching right here in the context.
Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters.
So what's this message? Fear God, worship God. You give glory to God because He's the one that's made it all. That's His message. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking away from it. I'm just saying that's His message.
And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.
Now, I believe what you have here is another epithet, the great city Babylon. It's not Babylon as Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. But an epithet is when you use one name because it has a meaning to it, but you're actually talking about something else. I'll give you for an example right here in the Revelation. Jerusalem is referred to as Sodom. Well, how do I know that that's Jerusalem? Because he said the city where the Lord was crucified. But he doesn't call it Jerusalem. He calls it Sodom. An epithet. Why? Because of its wickedness. Now, when he's using the word Babylon here, actually the root of Babylon is confusion. And so when he's using this, Babylon is fallen, the place that's brought all the confusion about is fallen. And here again, I still believe that that relates, goes back to this Roman Catholic Church. Babylon's fallen. There's so many pointers that make me believe that, okay? Now look at what it says. The reason it's fallen is because of the passionate wine of her fornication that she supplied to all races. Now, anytime you're looking here at fornication, it's dealing with a spiritual adultery. Idolatry. You understand? Intermingling with all these other people to take them away from God. In other words, this church, if I can say it that way, this Babylon has prostituted itself for money. I don't know of any organization more wealthy than the Catholic Church. What's it done? It's interacted with merchants all over the world, buying their goods, making the money, taking the money out of the people. You understand that Martin Luther's problem with the Catholic Church, and let me tell you this, Martin Luther died not a Lutheran, but a Catholic. He never left the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church put a bounty on his head. Because he said, your acts of penitence, in other words, you're charging people, you tell people that if they give money, that their sins can be forgiven. And so what are they doing? They're taking money from the people. And people will pay all kind of money to get their sins forgiven. You understand? And you look at the wealth and then the interaction with the merchants. I don't know if you've ever been into any kind of Catholic settings. I have in my travels. And I'm telling you, you're talking about gold, not imitation. You look at all the wealth inside, even in a little village, a place that you don't even have seats in. But you have bars like a jail behind that. There are all these statues and all these things of gold, all this wealth in a little village, taking advantage of people, taking their money, buying this, that, and the other. Building your own city, having your own government. You understand, Vatican City is not governed by Rome. It's its own government. And I'll tell you something else interesting about it. The guards or the police there must be Swiss-born. They're not even Italian. That's a requirement. They have to be trained. You understand? Why Swift Point? No allegiance. That means you can take out anybody. You have no allegiance other than to the Mother Church. I'm telling you, we're talking about some devious stuff here. Okay?
I want to give y'all a reference to put down. You can look at Isaiah 21:9.
Excuse me?
Isaiah 21:9.
Yeah.
You might want to write that down and take a look at that when you get a minute. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of wine, the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
you worship this Antichrist image system. You received the mark of this system in your forehead. Note this, forehead or right hand. Then it says that person will drink the wine of the wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God is not poured out on the children of obedience, but the children of disobedience. He said, you'll drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out, note this, undiluted. In other words, you're going to get the full force of God's wrath into the cup of His indignation. And He says, you'll be tormented in fire and brimstone. Brimstone, if you look at the definition, sulfur. In the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. In other words, they will watch the judgment take place. Okay?
And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name.
Now, this is perpetual. Perpetual. They have no rest, day or night. It's a perpetual thing. And this is the judgment for all those who worship this dangerous animal or his image representation, or all who receive the mark or name. It's a perpetual torment, not temporary, as some will try to teach. Okay? Our time's up, so we're going to have to stop, and we'll pick back up with verse 12, I guess.
Mm-hmm.